Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Each year at this time, we retell the story of an old man and a young girl, of angelic visitors and troubling dreams late at night, an extraordinary child born into this world by way of a virgin mother. We decorate everything around our houses, our neighborhoods. We put out our nativity scenes. Retelling this story seems once real, though, and then in the other sense, it seems unreal. The characters are real, and they are very true to form. Mary wonders, as the angel announces that she's going to carry Jesus, how can this be? Virgins don't conceive, at least ordinarily. It's a biological basic fact of life. This isn't some modern discovery that the Bible reveals to an ancient people who were unaware about where kids come from. Joseph wasn't dumb. He's a builder from Nazareth. He had some common sense about what it meant to interact with people. He's quite aware as well of where babies come from. But yet, as she is betrothed to him and she turns up pregnant, he assumed the logical thing. And so he resolved to do the just and reasonable thing, to let her out of the marriage contract so that she could go off freely and quietly and marry the father of her child without any prejudice or ill will. And as we sit here today with our nice, pristine Bibles that are all nicely categorized with notes and everything else, it's easy for us to look back at all of that and say, come on, you were carrying the Son of God, Mary. Come on, Joseph, this is the Savior, the Messiah that the Old Testament pointed to. Get with the program. Why don't you understand what's going on? Don't you get that your fiancé is supposed to carry the Son of God? Didn't she know that? Didn't she tell you about this whole thing? But let's be real. Their reactions are what we would expect from sane, rational, reasonable people, just like you and me. It's the same with us with all of this Christian faith that we hear about, read about, and learn about in the Scriptures. How can we truly say that we have God's Word and revealing to us His true, infallible Word in our midst? How can we deny that other religions of the world, of any other claim to understand and know God, are false apart from Jesus? Why is it that God says He's love, but then he would condemn those who don't believe in his Son? Or even worse, why is God so loving and caring and wonderful, but then things terrible happen in our world? How can we say truly that holy baptism is really a rebirth, being born again of water and the Word? How can we truly know that the Holy Spirit, a clean conscience, and a new name were given to me in holy baptism? How can we really talk about Jesus being in bread and wine? Isn't it just simply a symbol, a nice remembrance type of meal that we just have to remind ourselves of all the goodiness of Jesus that he's done for us? Are we truly sure that the same body and blood that walked on the earth were crucified, laid in a tomb, and raised again from the dead are actually on this altar, and that I receive this wholly and fully each time I come to this altar for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith, surely Jesus cannot be truly present fully and wholly in this word, in this water, and in this meal at little old Grace Lutheran Church with a big blue tarp and a new roof going up on it. This seems crazy, extraordinary, and downright insane to believe. These reactions are what we would expect from sane, rational, and reasonable people who are not in our midst today. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. No matter what we may doubt and fear, no matter what we may question about what we hear from God and His Word, the Word is at work in this world, and we walk by faith and not by sight in this world. The Word of God has always been at work in this world. The Word was at work through the angel speaking to Mary that she was going to conceive and bear a son, Jesus, in her womb. The Word is at work at Joseph's dream as the angel speaks to Joseph that you will name your son Jesus, because his name means what he's going to do, save his people from their sins. Joseph, who went out from questioning Mary's pregnancy to going and acting on it fully and wholly, sheltering Mary and Jesus as he was born, fleeing to Egypt as they later would find out that a price was on the baby Jesus' head. And yes, the Word of God is at work here. It intrudes and it disrupts and even inconveniences and rearranges all things in this life. Christianity is not about having all of the answers in a nice wrapped up little package that we can fully understand. It's confusing. It's hard to understand. It's uneasy at times, and it's a difficult pill to swallow. I'm standing up here preaching about this, and I don't always get all of this. But that doesn't mean that it isn't true. A virgin conceives and bears a son. The son who is long prophesied from the Old Testament. The son who would be raised up to die and rise from the dead, bearing your sin and my sin. Sinners are baptized into him in the waters of holy baptism and are declared holy, clean, pure, with a clean conscience, justified, forgiven before God for Jesus' sake. And we do partake of the same flesh and blood on this altar that walked the roads of Jerusalem and Judea. Week in and week out, we partake of these things. All because the Word is at work, and with God and His Word, nothing is impossible. Sure, it's not everyday stuff. It may seem unlikely, maybe even downright impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so we stand here on the threshold of another Christmas. All of the candles are lit, minus the white one. And Christmas will come next Sunday with all sorts of expectations and obligations. Family, friends, all of that food and all of that gift wrap. And every year there is that uneasy cultural clash of Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays and whether or not we can have manger scenes in the public places or not. But we are always reminded of the story of what took place. The child born of the Virgin Mary, who brings conflict to the world as he stirs up conflict for us. If you read later on after his birth, all he would do would be to stir up trouble, because he will not let the world wallow in its sin, death, and decay. He will not let you or me wallow in the messes that we have made of our life. He has come to grab hold of us in our flesh and blood and to rescue us even when we cannot fully comprehend it. and he speaks it by his word from the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. His entrance is quiet and subtle. Announced by angels, the impact of his conception is enormous. But the word becomes flesh. The fullness of God is in our midst. His might, his all-knowing, overarching presence in the entire cosmos will be found in Mary's womb and later in a manger. That's what this story and what Christmas is all about. That is what the core is, no matter how distracted we are with the holiday season. God still sneaks into the world in a most wonderful and wondrous way. And he didn't just come to rearrange the furniture a bit. He grabs the whole thing and shakes it up through life and death, no matter what we face today or tomorrow. And that is the point of all of this. The dreams, the angels, the virgin, the doubting husband, the child, the manger, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, and the glory, it's all focused on you. To save you. God sneaking into the world through water, bread, wine, connected with his word, to reveal you the fullness of his glory, that he has died for you to forgive all sin, that he's risen from the dead so that you can look at your own grave as simply a place of sleeping where you will awake and arise to new life on the last day. So no matter what is sitting under your tree for next Sunday, rejoice that the babe of Bethlehem was placed on a tree for you to take away your sin, your death, and to promise you that the grave has no power over you. All because the word says so, no matter how hard it is to comprehend, believe, or understand, it is all done. It is all finished for you. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.